The U.S. economy added 223,000 jobs in December. And the markets, well, they had a field day. Also, why good economic news is bad news for Wall Street. We'll talk about that. It is the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks so much for being with us again today. In other news, so in December, what industries actually added the most jobs? We'll share the numbers with you. The Southwest airline meltdown will cost the company plenty, and we'll detail that as well. A major franchisee for Burger King has filed for bankruptcy and will sell off 90 locations. We've got the Wall Street Report, and might remote work be a thing of the past? Some recent data suggests that it soon will be. Let's go.
Insight on Business News Hour and Headlines is brought to you by the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members worldwide. Find them at ntpda.com. Taro International is a professional training center dedicated to helping individuals and businesses succeed. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. T-E-R-O.com. The Business News is also brought to you by AARP. Learn more at aarp.org. Also, Focus and Find, a socially responsible recruiting company dedicated to making a difference. Focusandfind.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. Hope that you're going to have a great weekend. Want to find us on Twitter? You can do that. We are at @IOB_NewsHour. We've also got a Facebook page like most people do, and you can find us there, Insight on Business, the News Hour. Early on Friday, the Labor Department reported the U.S. added 223,000 jobs in December. It was a bit less than we reported on Thursday, which referenced the ADP report. Then something remarkable happened. On Thursday, Wall Street had a meltdown and the markets sank. Yet on Friday, when the Labor Department reported some 12,000 fewer jobs, the equities roared back to life, with the Dow closing up by 700 points. So what's going on? Well, for one thing, wages grew at an annualized rate of 4.6%. Back in November, wages had grown by 4.8% on an annualized rate, meaning wages are slipping a bit. And that is something the central bank is hoping for, because increased wages, well, that drives inflation higher. In addition, the jobless rate fell to 3.5%, marking the lowest unemployment rate since 1969. All of this suggests to investors that the Fed rate hikes may be having some impact after all, and if so, that may mean the central bank might ease up on those jumbo rate hikes, and the bet is the next hike will be only 0.25%, and Wall Street is giddy about that. Those numbers from today, I'll have those for you in just a bit. So why, might you ask, does good economic news freak out the markets? For example, strong job reports, robust manufacturing data, hot consumer spending. Any time America reports its economy is strong, Wall Street, yeah, has a meltdown. CNN is reporting that a strong jobs report puts pressure on the Fed to raise interest rates, and the same goes for strong wage growth. Strong economic reports means the Federal Reserve's historic rate hikes may not be having the effect that they should, and Jerome Powell and company may need to raise rates for longer to slow the economy and cool inflation. Rate hikes are bad news for stocks because they eat into companies, yeah, you guessed it, profits. The magic word, profit. When we talk about jobs, we need to recall that the U.S. economy last year created 4.5 million jobs, the second most in history, with more than 10 million job openings. Now, the fear is that the strong jobs market, which is good for Main Street, will spin off more inflation, bad for company profits and the Wall Street investors. Adding to economists and Wall Street's confusion are a couple of other things. COVID, the war in Ukraine, the labor shortage, supply chain chaos. All these problems mean we have to throw out conventional economic wisdom out the window. We have no history to guide us on any of this, and there are no easy solutions. So back to jobs. Where were the jobs growth for December? The monthly jobs report showed that some of the biggest gains were in industries like leisure and hospitality, healthcare and accommodation, and food services, which were all hard hit during the pandemic. There were also notable monthly job losses in technology and interest rate sensitive sectors that surged during the pandemic and are now rebalancing as consumers shift spending towards services. Industries like information, finance, retail, transportation, and professional and business services all shed jobs between November and December. The biggest gainer in December included education and health service. That was plus 78,000 jobs. Next was leisure and hospitality with a plus 67,000 jobs. Construction was up by 28,000, and wholesale trade added 12,000 jobs. All of this from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Southwest airline meltdown is going to be very costly to the nation's largest carrier. CNN is reporting that the price tag for the holiday mess will come close to $1 billion in losses and result in the company reporting a loss for the year. The carrier said the cost of canceling more than 16,700 flights between December 21 and 29 will be somewhere between $725 million and $825 million. A bit more than half the cost, between $400 and $425 million, will come from lost ticket revenue that will be refunded to consumers. Other costs include compensation for customers, both to pay for out-of-pocket expenses and the cost of booking flights on other airlines, as well as providing 25,000 points to the frequent flyer accounts of affected customers. There are also increased operating costs for additional compensation for employees, such as overtime pay. The costs did not include any possible fines that could be imposed by the Department of Transportation. DOT has said it is investigating the service problems at Southwest, and members of Congress are calling on it to take firm action against the airline. And the really ugly part of all of this is the meltdown could have been avoided. Time will tell if Bob Jordan, the CEO, will keep his job. Stay tuned. You know something is up when even a Burger King major franchisee files for bankruptcy. Eat This, Not That is reporting that between the COVID-19 pandemic, sky-high inflation, and supply chain problems, it's been a rough couple of years for the restaurant business. Even a brand like Burger King, one of the most recognizable in fast food, has not been immune to the economic squeeze. For example, a major Burger King franchise, Tom's King Holdings, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Touted as one of the top-performing Burger King franchisees in North America as recently as 2018, Tom's King plans to sell all 90 of its current BK locations across Pennsylvania, Virginia, Ohio, and Illinois. Just a few years ago, Tom's King operated over 100 Burger King locations. The pandemic, inflation, higher supply costs, and a lack of labor all took a serious toll on recent profits. According to the court filings, the operator's business suffered significantly from a loss of foot traffic, resulting in declining revenue, without proportionate decreases in rental obligations, debt service, and other liabilities. And that's not even mentioning the additional cash flow issues that were created by higher prices for shipping, steeper food costs, and general inflation. The question, though, has got to be asked, if profits really suck, who would buy these restaurants? Good question, yeah? Wall Street ended a multi-week skid on Friday as the Dow gained a whopping 700 points to close at 33,630, while the NASDAQ picked up 264 points to end the trade at 10,569, and the S&P 500 added a whopping 86 points to finish the day and the week at 3895. The day's rally puts all three major indexes in positive territory for the first week of this year. All three rose about 1% or more for the week. And finally, there is this, And this means you might just have to ditch your comfy clothes. In the current U.S. job market, many employers have taken remote work arrangements off the table. Data from LinkedIn's workforce report shows the rapid rise and fall of employers' willingness to target remote candidates. In an analysis, over 60 million paid job postings on LinkedIn since January of last year, researchers found the peak for remote jobs was in March of 2022, with over 20% of all listings offering the remote work as an option. But that spike gave way to an abrupt decline in November of last year. Barely 14% of paid job postings invited remote applicants. You know, everything seems to be in flux, from remote working to the four-day work week to more paid time off. You know, it's sort of sad that the United States is second to last when it comes to paid time off at just 10 days each year. Only Micronesia is worse at 9 days off. Stress you much? We think it probably does. Well, that's a wrap for the Friday edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great weekend. A reminder, we will be back on the air on Sunday, noon Central, on News Talk 1540, KXEL, with the Business Week in review. Have yourself a great weekend. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.